Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
I will sing your praise, for you've done such a marvelous thing for someone so yet my soul you have redeemed, and no one else could do it. No one could care half as much, but you thought my soul was worth it. So you gave your only son.
You gave that I might live. You gave that I might be set free, exchange your life for mine. What a marvelous thing you've done. Some folks see my faults. Ooh, but Lord, you see my accomplishments. Ooh, even the good works you have begun in me. Lord, you also see my finish. Yes, you do. No, not half done. Oh, every battle has already been won. Yeah. Oh, I can't help you, Lord, oh, for the marvelous things you've done. You gave that I might live, and you gave that I might be set free.
What a
glorious thing, yeah. What
It's marvelous.
Oh,
oh,
marvelous.
Oh, yeah.
Marvelous.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah.
Marvelous.
Oh, it's marvelous.
Marvelous.
What you've done in our lives, Lord. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Somebody say,
oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
oh,
oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Marvelous.
Marvelous.
Oh,
yeah.
So marvelous.
So marvelous.
Oh, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. What a glorious thing. What a glorious thing. What a marvelous thing. What a marvelous thing. You've done.
Glorious thing.
Ooh.
What a marvelous thing.
You've center of my joy.
When I've lost my ocean. You're the compass for my way. You're the fire and light when nights are dark and cold. In sadness, you are my laughter that shares all my tears. When I'm all alone, your hand is there to hold. Oh,
Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
All that's good
and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment.
You're the
hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my
in these simple little things in life. You're the music in the meadows and the streams. You're the voices of all the children, my family and my home. You're the source and the finisher of my highest dreams. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the hope of my
contentment
and the hope of all I do. Oh, Jesus, oh, you are the center
of my joy.
Jesus,
you are
the center,
of my joy.
Of Jesus,
you are
the center of my joy. Oh, when I'm lost, Jesus,
you're
the center of my joy,
of my joy.
Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Oh, Jesus, I see you're the center of my joy. When I'm lost, you are. Can't see my way. You're the center of my joy. Of my joy. You're the center of my
to be seated in the audience today, because we're going to be preaching from the screen again. Praise the Lord for uplifting music. Praise the Lord. You know, this is not a show. We're singing to the glory of God. So don't think we're up here showing out and doing all that stuff. God has been so good to us, and that's why we lift our voices and praise him, amen? That's why we come together as believers on God's holy Sabbath day. Praise the Lord for this Sabbath day this morning. I want to thank that choir, the wonderful music, Stevie, and I want to thank our own Dr. Longo, who was down there just... Man, woo, making a joyful noise. He was, you know, I like to see people, you know, if you're going to do something, do it well. Do it loud and do it well. You know, don't be timid about it. You got a horn, play it. You got a voice, sing. Play that piano. Play that organ. Praise the Lord this morning. God has been too good to us to sit back silent. Thank the Lord this morning. Kimberly, my daughter, singing. Praise the Lord for her. Pastor Kemp, always give you thanks for your musical abilities. Glad to have you here. This morning, we want to visit the screen again. Last Sabbath, our topic was what? You remember? Heaven, 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 heaven. It thrills my heart that you remember the sermon last Sabbath. It tells me that you got something from it. You didn't just get it for the moment. You know, some sermons are for the moment. You know, we get excited and then you ask us what the sermon was about 10 minutes later. I don't know what he preached about, but he sure did preach. We talked about heaven last Sabbath and the beauty of heaven and the glory of heaven and what we're going to do in heaven and the things of heaven, the streets of gold and the fruit and just everything about heaven that you don't want to miss. Amen? We're going to backtrack this Sabbath, and if I could just have your attention for the next half hour or so, we're going to talk about that thousand-year period that the Bible describes as the millennium. Have you heard of the millennium before? Amen. That thousand-year period. I want to thank our elder for our scripture readings. You know, the book of Matthew is full of... things about the second coming. Also, Second Peter talks about how Christ will come, glory and majesty in the heavens, and things will melt. And so we thank you for those two scriptures. We want you to get your Bibles out this morning, because we're going to be following the scriptures this morning. Is that all right? It's good to know your Bibles. We need to be equipped with the word of God, because we are Christ's disciples, amen? And hopefully you'll be so motivated, so excited about learning about things in the Bible that you go off and tell others about it. We want you to be prepared to give Bible studies. That's how you win people to Christ. Giving Bible studies, teaching others about the Word of God, letting others know that you are a Christian, you are a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, worshiping God on His holy Sabbath day. You know, the Sabbath is such an important day that God has given us to come together as believers. And one day, the Sabbath is really going to matter. I know some people feel, oh, I don't have to go to church. You know, I could worship God at home and go up to the hills and the beach. But the Sabbath is a day that God told us to keep. Amen. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day, because He knew that some of y'all will be forgetting one day. A 1,000 years in jail. You remember when the year 2000 approached. I remember I was at Oakwood, and a new millennium began, and all types of prophecies came out, what would happen that year. And I don't know if you remember some of those prophecies. Some people said that Jesus would come in the year 2000. Some people said that Armageddon would take place. Some people even said that the Antichrist, the evil political leader, would all of a sudden appear, and this military leader would arrive. Some folk believe that there was a 7-year time of the tribulation, and great suffering and death would begin at the year 2000. Some people felt as though Jesus would come, and that some people felt a comet would strike the earth. I remember that prediction was out. Some people thought a comet would come and destroy the earth, and a nuclear war would break out, and that it would be a worldwide epidemic, and all inhabitants of earth would be wiped out. Those are some of those predictions. Some thought that the Y2K, remember that? Y2K would trigger a worldwide depression and financial collapse. Others thought that the planets would align themselves and would tilt the earth off its axis, creating a worldwide catastrophe. And some people believed in a rapture, a secret rapture. They believed that people would be all of a sudden snatched out of their automobiles and out of airplanes, and God would take them to heaven. Now, the years have gone by. It is 2013. And a lot of books came out. There was a Left Behind series that came out. And several books came out talking about the Second Coming. And this book became a bestseller. Left Behind became a bestseller. And it was based on the idea that Christ would come in a secret manner. He wouldn't tell anybody. And that His saints would be raptured or snatched away from earth anytime. But you and I know, we should know what the Bible says about end time predictions. We shouldn't rely on the tabloid newspaper predictions. We should find out what God's plans are by reading God's Word. Amen? The Word of God is our only source of inspiration. The Word of God is the only reliable source of predictions about our future. The only book that can tell you about the future is the Bible. Amen? And we're going to go directly to the Bible to discover some of these events that will happen in the last days. And we know that Christ is coming. We know that God is coming, and the signs are being fulfilled every day. Every day signs are being fulfilled. Did you know that tornadoes have been spotted now? For the first time in history, that are spinning the wrong way. These are just signs that Christ is coming. The earth is changing. The earth is groaning, getting old. There are places in Mexico, I'm told, where the ground temperature, you heard of global warming, the ground temperature in some places in Mexico is in excess of 200 degrees. During a 7-day period in early June, there were 772 earthquakes recorded on the California-Nevada border near Mammoth Lake. Did you know that on May 31st, the jet stream, you know what a jet stream is? Usually a jet stream is up in the atmosphere. It's a wind that's extremely fast. Well, this jet stream touched ground for the first time in recorded history. Jesus is coming again. Did you know that all over the North America, migratory birds have stopped returning to their nesting grounds? And that salmon are no longer returning to their spawning grounds? And here, this is the thing. God allows us to see these signs, not to scare us. Because fear is not going to save you. Only the grace of God can save you. You can be scared. I'm not trying to scare you this morning, because fear is not going to save you. But the Bible tells us of these events, wars and rumors of wars, things that are happening now. Let's look to the Word of God. Matthew 16:27. The Bible says, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And then he will reward each according to his works." Amen? I want to tell you how Jesus will come, because one of the last tricks of the devil, you know what that will be? He's going to impersonate Satan. He's going to impersonate Satan. He's going to have his own second coming. But the Bible says, "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." Mark that in your Bible. Jesus Christ will descend from the sky in the glory of his Father. The solution of sin is not a one world government or a union of church and state. But Jesus Christ is coming to reign from heaven. And the Bible says, "For as the lightning comes from the east," look out for that lightning, "and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Here's another Bible text. "For the Lord himself will descend from where? With a what? Shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God." And what's going to happen? "And the dead in Christ will rise first." That means those people who have died loving Jesus, knowing Jesus, accepting Jesus, will rise first from their graves. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Boy, that Paul tells us to tell that to one another, to give us hope. What a wonderful Bible text. One day, sin will be no more. Jesus will come. The graves will be opened. Our loved ones will come up from the grave who have gone to sleep in Jesus. Dead in Christ will rise first. Little boys and little girls and little babies will be reunited with their parents. Some of you have lost children. You'll be reunited on that day with your loved ones. The dead in Christ will rise first. The language is crystal clear. Christ is coming down with power and glory. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Let's look at another Bible text, John 5, 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So how many resurrections is it going to be? Two resurrections. The resurrection of life and the resurrection of damnation. Two resurrections. Dead in Christ rise first. Resurrection and damnation is the second resurrection. And you better hope that you're in that first resurrection. You don't want to be in that second resurrection. Jesus will return with dazzling lights, and the graves will be opened, and his people will be restored into the likeness of Christ's body. No more blindness, no more crippled, no more cancer or arthritis. We will be raised up with bodies like Jesus, healthy and whole, young again, in perfect health. We shall be changed, the resurrection of life. We will meet our guardian angels. Isn't that something? I really want to meet my guardian angel. You know, I've given him a hard time in life. And I want to meet him and thank him for watching out for me. Jesus will come in all of his glory and splendor. 1 Corinthians 15, 52 and 53. We shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on what? Incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. 1 Thessalonians 4, 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's some African American folks. Some of you were complaining. Didn't see none of us. There we are. There we are. The slides fooled you. Praise the Lord. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. We shall be changed in mortal immortality. We will be with Jesus. The righteous dead will be resurrected and receive new bodies and are changed. The righteous living, we, some of us even, will be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Christ comes, righteous are resurrected. Well, what about the lost? What's going to happen to them? Are they left alive on the earth? Have you been reading your Bible? What's going to happen to the wicked, the evil people, when Christ comes? The Bible is clear. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 1:8. The Bible says, in flaming fire, when Jesus comes again, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Boy, that's going to be a day of terribleness to those who don't know Jesus. So the wicked on the earth will be destroyed with the brightness of Jesus' coming. Destroyed. Jesus longs to save everybody, but some of us will refuse his mercy. Some of us will reject his sovereign majesty and authority. Jeremiah 25:33 says, "In that day the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth." When Jesus comes, they're going to be slain dead people all around the world who didn't follow Christ. Those that didn't love him. You know, the same sun that hardens clay melts wax. There's another text, Jeremiah 25:33. "They shall not be lamented or gathered or buried. They shall become refuge on the earth." God is going to destroy them and just leave them on the earth. He ain't got time to bury them. We're going to heaven. Given us chance after chance after chance. They'll be destroyed with the brightness and the brightness of his coming, and they'll be strewn around the earth. So here's the second coming. Jesus returns. Righteous living, ascend. Righteous dead, resurrected. Wicked living, slain. Got that? That's the order. Learn this order, because Satan will try to fool you. 1,000 years, we are going to go back to heaven. 1,000 years and be with Jesus. Revelation 21:2 says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon." Who's the dragon? Satan, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for how many years? 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is called what? The millennium. 1,000 years is called a millennium. The millennium. What about this 1,000 years? Christ comes and will take us to heaven. The angel comes down and he binds the devil to this earth for 1,000 years. So Satan is here. The word millennium, we told you earlier, means 1,000. Mele, which means 1,000. Annium means years. Revelation 22:3 says, "He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set him a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while." Look at him. Down on planet Earth with nobody to tempt. Why? Because we'll be in heaven. The dead will be on the earth. Dead. Nobody to tempt. What a frustrating time for Satan. He's not going to know what to do with himself. There on planet Earth, dark, the earth will be without form and void, and no one to tempt. We're in heaven rejoicing. The earth, the busis is what it's called, will be without form and void. It's the same word used in Genesis, the first chapter, verse 2. Satan is bound in a chain of darkness on a desolate earth for 1,000 years. And there is the earth in a rubble, destroyed, completely destroyed. We will be in heaven. The earth will be destroyed. Jeremiah 4:23, "I beheld the earth," this is what Jeremiah says, "and indeed it was without what? Form and void, and the heavens, they had no light." He'll also be in darkness. Jeremiah 4:24, "I beheld the mountains, and indeed they trembled, and all the hills moved back and forth. I beheld, and indeed there was no man, and all the birds of the heaven had what? Fled. I beheld, and indeed the fruitful land was a wilderness, and all its cities were broken down." Jeremiah 4:26, "and the presence of the Lord by his fierce anger." What a terrible time if you're not in Jesus. The Bible says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." That's a promise. that where I am, and we talked about last week, where he was in heaven, there you may be also. What a wonderful time that will be. Revelation 26. What will we be doing in heaven? Revelation 26. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000 years in heaven we will reign. What will we be doing in heaven reigning for 1,000 years? We won't just be milling around doing anything, but we have a job to do. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3, during that 1,000-year period, the Bible says, do you not know that the saints will judge what? The world. We'll be judging the world while we're up there. Do you not know that we shall judge who? Angels. We'll be judging angels. The Lord will give us an opportunity to judge angels. Revelation 20, verse 4 says, and I, John, this is John in vision. He says, I saw thrones and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. We will be there judging one another. We'll find out why some of our dear relatives are not in heaven. Why some mothers won't be in heaven. Why some children who have gone astray won't be in heaven. We'll be finding out all that information because we will be judging at that time. And oh, Lucifer will be judged. He will be the one judged. Revelation 16, 17, the Lord says, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous, we will find out that God is the righteous one. And here's the millennium. This is what we'll do. The righteous are in heaven. The earth is desolate. Satan will be on earth with nobody to tempt for 1,000 years. And look at what else happens. Revelation 20, verse 7 and 8. Now when 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, the circumstances on earth, and will go out to deceive the nations. And here it is, Revelation 25. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. After 1,000-year period, Satan is going to be released. And then here is the second resurrection called the what? Resurrection of what? Damnation. Resurrection of damnation. Here it is, the millennium, 1,000-year period, the first resurrection, second resurrection, second coming of Jesus. Holy city descends after 1,000-year period. We saw the Bible, Texas, millennium. Then Revelation 21 says, then I, John, saw the holy city, Revelation 21, verse 2, New Jerusalem. Now here we come, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. After that 1,000-year period, we will descend from heaven. John saw that holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. He saw that in vision. And this holy city now descends from God's throne. The whole universe revolves around God's throne. It's the universe cosmic command center. And this big, beautiful city will descend down to earth. And the Bible says in Revelation 21, 3, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. They shall see his face. Hallelujah. Amen. the drama of the ages is coming to close, the end of the controversy between good and evil. This holy city will descend from heaven. The wicked are resurrected. Then Satan and his evil host see the city. And I can't believe he is stupid as he is. He's actually going to think he can overtake the city. He's going to gather those evil, wicked. Number one, God resurrected them. But he still thinks he has a chance to overtake this holy city. And he convinces the wicked that we can take it. So here they are as this holy city lands on this planet Earth. Satan gathers his troops together, the wicked that are resurrected. Those that have been resurrected, Revelation 29 says, they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. They surrounded. And then it happens. You know, God set them up. He allowed them to surround the city. He says, okay, I'm going to set you up. I'm going to make you think you can overtake this city. Revelation 29, and what came down from heaven? Fire came down from God out of heaven. And what? Devoured them. Fire came down. This is the second death. The second death. Fire came down. The presence of God devours Satan and all of his evil angels, and all of the wicked are devoured. The earth is consumed in the flames, and the flames do what to the earth? You know, heat purifies things. The flames are going to be so hot that it's going to purify the earth. It's going to purify this planet Earth. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. 2 Peter 3:13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for what? New heavens. Come on, read it with me. And what? New earth in which righteousness dwells. We look forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Out of the ashes of the old world, God creates a garden of Eden right here again. Earth is going to be carpeted with living green things. They're going to be pure brooks and pristine lakes again. The landscape flowers are going to be beautiful again. The reds and true purples and oranges blossom. Plants will be beautiful again. Fruit trees of every variety. Fields of waving grain. The earth made all over again. Praise God. There'll be no more sin. No more heartaches. No more disappointment. The earth will be recreated. A brand new earth for us to reign again on. And if God can take a sin-filled world and recreate it, if he can take polluted air and make that air into pure air, if God can take blind eyes and open them again, if he can take deaf ears and unstop them, if he can ignite the flame of the sun, position the stars in the sky, if he can rotate the world on this axis, if God can carve mighty mountains out of granite, if he can change the direction of the wind, think of what that same God can do to your life. Whatever disappointments you've had, this same Jesus has his arms open wide. And he wants to save you and I today. If I can just get my son to start playing. He wants to change your life. And you know, at Earth's final hour, it's only going to be two classes of people. Those who love and serve God. And those who reject his authority. Two classes of people. Those who are saved and those who are lost. Nobody in between. Two classes of people are going to be existing. Those who are saved and those who are lost. Those who love the truth. Those who love the truth when Christ comes, you're either going to meet him in the air and be saved forever, or you'll be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. When Christ comes a second time, there'll be a resurrection. When he comes a third time, 1,000 years later, there'll be another resurrection. Two resurrections 1,000 years apart, the Bible says. During the 1,000 years, there's only two classes. The righteous in heaven with Christ, worshiping around his throne. The wicked bodies are around the earth. When Jesus comes the third time at the end of the millennium, the righteous descends from heaven with that beautiful holy city. There'll be two classes of people. Either you'll be with Jesus or with Satan attacking the city. What is the difference between being saved or lost? The choice is not God's. The choice is be yours. He's done everything possible to save you. Your choice. Our choices for or against God get stronger as we repeat them. And today, God has given some of you another chance to make that decision today. Past is a memory. Future is a dream. But this moment is yours. No one can force your choice. I want you to listen to the words of this song.
Cleanse me, Lord, of all my silly, sad charades. How I want to be all and only yours. Take away the clutter in my life every day, and make me like a child at play, and give me joy. I love to laugh and cry with you. You've become a friend with me all the time. Help me to be patient as I watch and I pray. Growing in your love each day, Lord, show me the way, 'cause when the time comes, I want him to know me. And when the time comes, I want to be there. When that time comes, I wanna be ready. When my Jesus comes to take me, when my Jesus comes to take me, when my Jesus comes to take me, take me. Oh. to know me. And when the time comes, I want to be there. Yes, I do. And when that time comes, I want to be ready. When my Jesus comes to take me, when my Jesus comes to take us all away, when my Jesus comes to take me home.
Let me just read something to you. Earlier I told you how important the Sabbath is going to be. Some of you think it's not important. And I'm reading from the Spirit of Prophecy, amen? If you don't like it, you can leave at this time. You can. But I got to read this. As the crowning act in the great drama of deception, I told you Satan's last deception will be impersonating Christ. He thinks he could come fool people in the second coming. Satan himself will impersonate Christ. The church has long professed to look to the Savior's advent as the consummation of her hopes. Now the great deceiver will make it appear that Christ has come. That's why we got to know how he's going to come. When he, you know, we got to know the signs. We got to read his word. In different parts of the earth, Satan will manifest himself among men as a majestic being of dazzling brightness. I could just see this on CNN. Resembling the description of the Son of God given by John in Revelation. Same description. The glory that surrounds him is unsurpassed by anything that mortal eyes have yet beheld. Don't be fooled. The shout of triumph rings out upon the air. Christ has come. Christ has come. The people prostrate themselves in adoration before him, while he lifts up his hands and pronounces a blessing upon them. This is Satan. As Christ blessed his disciples when he was upon the earth. Now listen to this. His voice is soft and subdued, full of melody. Isn't that something? He's slick. In gentle, compassionate tones, he presents some of the same gracious heavenly truths which the Savior uttered. See, he's mixing truth with error. He heals diseases of the people. Don't think just because a person is start healing people that they're Christ. Don't be fooled. And then she says, in his assumed character of Christ, he claims. This is why the Sabbath is important. In his assumed character of Christ, he claims to have changed the Sabbath to Sunday. And commands all to hallow the day which he has blessed. That's what he's going to do. And a lot of people are going to be fooled. A lot of people are going to be fooled. Oh, Saturday's, the true Sabbath is Sunday. and all the splendor and brightness, don't be fooled. He will come impersonating Christ. And then she also says, he has power to bring before men the appearance of their departed friends. And we all know the dead and cry, the dead know nothing. So if you see your grandmother coming back, sounding like herself and telling you that the Sabbath had been changed to Sunday, don't believe it. Don't be emotionally. See, Satan works with our emotions. He loves to. That's why families are torn apart. He messes with your children because he knows you're emotionally tied to your children. He messes with your relatives. The counterfeit is perfect. The familiar look, the words, the tone are reproduced with marvelous distinctness. Many will be confronted by the spirits of devils personating beloved relatives or friends and declaring the most dangerous heresies. These visitors will appeal to our tenderest sympathies and will work miracles to sustain their pretensions. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. That's why the Sabbath is important. That's why the Sabbath is important. And God is not going to force it on us. It's going to be your choice to follow him. And when that time comes, I want to know him. I want to know his voice. I want to know what the Bible says as to how he will appear. Study the word of God, my friend. You want to be there? Do you want to go to heaven? If you want to go to heaven with me, why don't you stand? Stand to your feet if you want to go to heaven. And while we're standing and heads are bowed, eyes are closed, if there's someone today who had not made that decision, you've been impressed with the word of God today and God has been speaking to your heart, I want you to bow your head, church. We're going to let the Holy Spirit have a little time here. You want to be in that number one day. You want to be in that first resurrection when Jesus comes through the sky and calls your name. Some of you are in the valley of decision right now. But if you want to make that decision today, why don't you come down? Come down to the altar as I pray. Father, I've done what you told me to do. Now, Lord, we just want to pause a moment and let your Holy Spirit work on the hearts of men and women today, boys and girls. Touch the hearts of those today, Father. We want to be ready when you come. We want to be obedient to your will, Father. We want to make that decision today, Father. I thank you for this church. I thank you that you're using this church to save people, Lord. That's why church is important to you. And you said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I thank you for this church. Lord, help us to realize the importance of being obedient to your law. Obeying all your commandments, Lord, including the fourth commandment. Oh, Lord, help us to teach us how to love the truth of your word. Teach us, Heavenly Father. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. Let everyone say thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.